It's time to get answers to all of your real estate questions. Talk 1260 KTRC presents All Things Real Estate, New Mexico's foremost live, listener-interactive real estate radio show. The phone lines are open, so call us at 505-473-5722 or email us your questions at rpost@sfrp.com. Now, here's your host, Ray Post.
Good afternoon and welcome to All Things Real Estate. I'm Ray Post with Santa Fe Realty Partners and stand ready to help you meet all of your real estate objectives. And just to remind you, if you need some help with renovation, repair, and design issues around your own home, santafe.realtypartners.com. Click on the radio show icon and look for the list of real estate resource companies. I also want to invite you to check out the very popular website, santafe.com, which offers you timely information on everything in our city, be it the restaurant and gallery scene, current real estate trends and property listings, where to shop, stay, as well as events to attend. And just in time for your holiday gift buying, SantaFe.com has just launched an online store where shoppers anywhere in the world can now go online and buy products from stores that have made Santa Fe popular. So go to SantaFe.com for not only information on everything happening in the city, but also for your holiday gift-giving needs. You can also find information on the All Things Real Estate radio show, as well as see articles written by brokers from Santa Fe Realty Partners. Once again, that's SantaFe.com. Now, lastly, before we get into the show, I want to take a moment to thank everyone who sent us messages last week expressing their kind words regarding the fact that last Sunday, we celebrated the sixth month that All Things Real Estate has been airing on KTRC. We very much appreciate the support you, our listeners, have given to us since we launched the show in June and promise that in 2010, we will continue to bring you interesting topics, interviews, and information on All Things Real Estate. I also want to thank all of the sponsors of our radio show and the support and terrific content that they have brought to the program over the past 6 months. And an example of just what I'm talking about is the special guest I have in the studio with me today, who I will be introducing in a minute. As always, we have a lot going on with the show today, so please sit back and enjoy All Things Real Estate here on Talk 1260 KTRC. You can also email me, Ray Post, your questions and comments by sending your message to rpost@sfrp.com. As you know, we like to begin each show with a couple of minutes of state of the market commentary from Andrew Hoffman, who is advisor to All Things Real Estate. Andrew, good afternoon, and also thank you for the excellent commentary that you've brought to the show for the last 6 months. How are you?
Very well, thank you, and thank you for your compliments. We've been talking about appraisals for the last 2 weeks,
yes.
Sort of the third and last. And so what I wanted to do is come back and circle back and say, you know, is an appraisal art or science?
Uh-huh.
For $500 or $450, what do you get in an appraisal? Well, there's some science. The appraiser has to come up with two sold comparables within 90 days, one maybe for the last 6 months, and then a pending or an active. You know, they have to come up with five listings to show the valuation. And the Fannie Mae standard used to be based upon location. And now it's really based upon timing and, you know, something that's happened more recently because the market is in an active decline. The key assumptions on the science side for evaluation are location, size in square footage, and condition. And here comes the art. How does an appraiser figure out, you know, the condition? Is it good? Is it excellent? Is it bad? That's really where the art part of the appraisal and the experience comes in. The appraiser has to understand the condition of a home. And oftentimes the appraiser has to use comparables based upon an MLS listing. Well, you know, as a realtor, how many times has a realtor listed a house on MLS and said, well, it's not a very good house?
Okay.
So the appraiser has to know by driving by the house what it's going to look like inside, and then make a decision that's appropriate for the market. And though, so here comes the difference, too, between a good appraiser and a bad appraiser, and that is, does he know the market? Does he have experience to know that a house that looks like a rundown adobe could be beautiful inside? And then the local versus Albuquerque or Elephant Butte appraisal, Does he know the market and know that a house, $1 million house, could actually be next to a double wide and it has that value? So in every appraisal, there's some science, and then there's a lot of art, and that's what you get when you pay $450 or $500 for an appraiser to come out and tell you what the house is worth.
Excellent summary of what any buyer needs to understand when they first, especially Andrew, for first-time home buyers, what the appraiser's role in the process is. And again, this sort of completes the triumvirate of three segments that you've brought on the issue of appraisal. I also wanted to ask you one quick question before I let you go.
Uh-huh.
I saw that there was a headline, and I was talking to my special and studio guest about this in Business Week this week, and I think you saw it too, Andrew. And the headline from the author, and this is his; these are his words: "If you don't buy a house now, you're stupid or broke, because interest rates are at historic lows, but cyclical changes suggest that they will rise soon." I don't know if you saw the article, Andrew, but it was a very good commentary on what we're pounding the drum on all the time.
And there's another article on the front page of the New York Times today that says exactly the same thing: that we're at rates are at a historic low, and that they're expected to go up as soon as the Federal Reserve's mortgage buying program expires in March or April.
Mm-hmm.
They could go as high as 6%. You can get in today well below 5% on a 30-year fixed rate loan.
All right. Well, as always, Andrew Hoffman, great commentary. Thank you. We will talk to you next Sunday, and we'll come up with a new topic, okay?
Thanks, Ray. All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And, again, I want to make it clear to everyone that that was not my title. Again, it's Business Week author. If you don't buy a house now, you're stupid or broke. And, actually, that's maybe a little bit too harsh, but the message is that interest rates are at such low levels, and they could go up. They probably will go up, so now's the time to do it. Shifting gears, my special in-studio guest, he's back once again to join us here. I have Stephen Eitri, who is the co-owner of Stephen's, a consignment gallery, which is located at 2701 Cerrillos Road. Welcome to the show, Stephen.
Thanks, Ray. It's great to be here.
Today we're going to talk about a couple of different issues, but before we get into the main issue for the rest of the show, Stephen, this is the holiday season. People are out shopping. We've been driving a lot of people to your tremendous
mm-hmm.
gallery. Question I have, though, is as a consignment gallery, is business good now during the holidays for you?
Well, you know, Ray, our business, like many businesses out there, have their high markets as well as their average markets. And for us, while we see our summer months, our spring, summer, and fall months to be primarily the strongest markets, what we do get as a push during the fall season is the holidays. It seems that, you know, as it gets colder outdoors and our listening audience are a little bit more inclined to spend more time indoors, it seems to be kind of a nesting that is going on. People are looking at around the house while they're in the house, and they're thinking, you know, maybe it's time that I replace this dining room table that I bought 20 years ago, which I really never even liked back then,
sure.
and I certainly don't like now. Maybe it's time to do something with the holidays coming. Mm-hmm. Lots of folks want to have an inviting dining room table view and those accessories that are on it during the holidays,
uh-huh.
whether it's Thanksgiving or Christmas. You know, we do an awful lot of business here in the fall with dining room tables and chairs as well as accessories, table accessories like sterling silver, flatware, crystal, stemware in China.
Uh-huh.
And we've seen... I was just mentioning a couple weeks ago that as we came out of the Thanksgiving market, I thought that we were heavy on dining room sets. And sure enough, from my lips to the market's will, we started selling dining room sets once again.
Interesting.
I think people are looking to get their houses to be inviting, to be warm.
So irrespective of where the economy is now, you're finding that this, as you call it, this nesting sort of phenomenon occurs about this time of the year
mm-hmm.
because of the holidays and people have that sort of warm feeling and they want to change the look. Maybe they have people coming into town or they're going to be having
right.
several dinners and receptions. So irrespective of where the economy is, up or down, that still is prevalent.
Yeah, it is. We're still seeing strong sales with those types of items that give people a sense of comfort and a sense of feeling good about their environment.
Mm-hmm. And maybe even more so in this tougher economy. Maybe that phenomenon is even stronger. And so though your typical strong market is in the summer months, your message and the answer to my question is that this time of year is traditionally a very good time for you as well, and a lot of people are seeing the consignment gallery as a good alternative to some of the other stores, right?
Absolutely, particularly if you're looking for if your criteria is not that the furniture you're buying be perfectly brand new in a box.
Mm-hmm.
Consignment buying, and particularly Stevens, we offer, top quality previously owned furnishings that somebody else has really paid top dollar for,
mm-hmm.
in a retail situation.
Mm-hmm.
And because of circumstances, they've changed their needs or wants or desires, and it's a great way of recycling what's already been produced.
Just to refresh people's memory, because I think everyone knows what the word consignment means, but the process that you use is almost scientific when you described it to me when I first met you. Someone can walk into your gallery with an item, but you don't necessarily recommend that they do that because you like to do research. We were actually in the green room talking about the fact I have a piece of art,
mm-hmm.
and you said, Ray, don't even bring the darn thing you looked at a couple of pictures of it. I want to do the research on it to make sure that I can market it effectively. Is that really the best way people should approach you?
Well, the best way for people to approach us, Ray, is to either email pictures to us or bring in pictures first. If it's a small item like china, crystal, silver, jewelry, something that they can manage pretty easily, and they would not be put out or disappointed if we do not accept it.
Right.
We're more than happy to let them bring that into us.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't suggest that people hire a truck and hire some men to haul a large piece of furniture down
and
that
show
we've
up.
Never seen.
And just show up.
Because there's no guarantee.
Yeah, of course.
We do offer the services of pickup and delivery. So it's not necessary that people go out and hire to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, and we're finding it to be pretty high percentage of most people out there can email us pictures now.
Mm, yeah. Well, and you can get a pretty good feel from looking at a picture.
Absolutely.
I mean, there's some things that you have to have a tactile sort of relationship with.
You fine-tune the value when you see it. You know, I'm a big believer in seeing, touching, smelling.
Right.
And that's where we excel over any other type of buying venues. But I can get a very good idea as to whether I want to pursue a piece just by a photograph.
All right, Gino Thompson, my producer, we're going to come back to seeing, touching, smelling Stephen Etri here in a minute. Seriously, Stephen, co-owner of Stephen's A Consignment Gallery, please stay tuned. We'll be back in a minute.
Now, here's your host, associate broker with Santa Fe Realty Partners, Ray Post.
Welcome back to All Things Real Estate. Yes, indeed, I am Ray Post, and I'm here today with Stephen Etri, co-owner of Stephen's, A Consignment Gallery. Before we get back into our conversation, I want to just remind you that I always tell my clients that they should be thoughtful in their choice of a realtor, a lender, and other real estate professionals to work with. And you should be just as discriminating in your choice of a title insurance company. Now, my top recommendation is Fidelity National Title Insurance Company. You see, Fidelity National is the nation's giant of title insurance companies with a personal Santa Fe approach. Their services are customized to meet the particular needs of each and every person and property. With Fidelity, your transaction runs smooth and safe with no surprises. So choose experienced, knowledgeable professionals to assist you with your real estate questions and transaction needs. Call my friends at Team Fidelity at 505-995-8800 or email them at their free and confidential question and customer service department. That is santafe@fnf.com. Choose wisely. Choose Fidelity. I know you'll appreciate the difference. I also want to encourage you to tune in next Sunday. I'm going to be out of town next Sunday, and Steve Riemann, the Santa Fe area manager of Fidelity National Title, has agreed to be the host of the show. He told me, Gino, by the way, what he wants to talk about, and it's going to be wacky. That's the word he used. It's wacky stuff. So anyway, I'm looking forward to it. He's going to have a guest with him, someone from his shop. So please mark it on your calendar to tune in. It's Professor Riemann. He's always entertaining when he's on the show with me, and I know next week it'll be even more so. Anyway, back to my conversation with Stephen Etri, co-owner of Stephen's A Consignment Gallery. I want to frame a scenario for you, Stephen,
sure.
And we're going to talk about this for the rest of the show. So, regrettably, someone has passed away. Mm-hmm. And their heirs are meeting with their attorney, and the attorney says to them, well, one of the first things you have to do is to deal with this property that your mother, father, whoever, has owned for 50 years. So the first thing they do is they call me, hopefully, mm-hmm. as a real estate broker or one of my colleagues in the firm of Santa Fe Realty Partners, and they say, we have a property. We'd like for you to come over and take a look at it, which, of course, is always our first line of attack. So we go over to the house. We walk in the door, and we – of course, we hold our breath because we don't want to let out a big, oh, my God. But the balloon coming out of our head is this property for 50 years has accumulated quite a few items. And so we start talking about the fact that, by the way, you're going to probably have to get rid of quite a few of these items. And as you pointed out to me in the previous conversation, the heirs panic. They don't know what to do. So what we suggest to them is you need to call Stevens, a consignment gallery, because they can tell you exactly how to deal with this property and these items in this property, not the property itself, but the items.
Mm-hmm.
That's the scenario. So now let's spend the rest of the show talking about those five or six things that you in your gallery will do to help those heirs actually move some of that stuff mm-hmm. out of the house.
Well, we could spend in fact, I've been requested to write a brochure on to hand out to folks
really?
As to how to proceed. We get into it with we've been doing this for so long here in Santa Fe that we've seen so many different situations there are some ways of proceeding systematically that would be most expedient in dealing with what's involved in a house. The first thing we do is the customer contacts us in for a free assessment where they indicate to us that they were referred to us by either a realtor or by a bank trust officer or by an attorney that they need an assessment as to what they have in the house. That's not necessarily the same thing as an appraisal.
Right.
We handle real property as opposed to real estate. Real property are those items that are located inside the house and outside the house, excluding the real estate. And sometimes it's necessary that you have an appraisal done. Mm-hmm. Sometimes that is not necessarily the first step.
And just to clarify, you're talking about the appraising the items, which is different from appraising the property.
Absolutely.
Right.
And I usually vet the conversation starting out as to, have you talked to your attorney or to the trust department, do you need an appraisal? And that gets determined based upon generally the value of the entire estate
mm-hmm.
or the tax situation.
Mm-hmm.
So given that someone has called us and they want an assessment, which again is different than an appraisal, we go out and we look at what is involved in the estate as far as real property. The first question I ask is, what in the house will not be available to be sold or to be disposed of one way or another?
Right, because maybe it was part of the will. That
right,
they would be
it was to go
on.
To heirs,
right.
Or it was given to a nonprofit, or a situation we just got involved in where there were certain items that were in the house that the real estate team deemed important to stay in the house
mm-hmm.
while they marketed the house.
Right.
Everything else got to go.
Gotcha. I tell you what, Stephen, why don't you hold that thought because
sure.
we're going to shift gears here quickly. And Gino Thompson, we've reached that point in the show when it's time again for our legal topic of the week brought to us by the Reuben Katz Law Firm. This week, attorney Jim Reuben will offer some observations on the importance of effective and efficient communication between buyers, sellers, and real estate brokers, and a little bit of what Stephen Etrie was talking about as well. Now, this includes some thoughts on how things as simple as having correct mailing addresses for all parties can impact things like transaction deadlines. For instance, attorney Reuben suggests we look at a situation where you are the potential buyer of a property. So you make a written offer to the seller. In the offer, you include your mailing address and fax number, and there's a space for the seller to insert his or her contact information. So the offer is signed and is written, and there are no counteroffers. Also, the seller includes his or her contact information, and as it turns out, there's no problem with the transaction in the future. It goes to settlement, and this is a situation that's pretty straightforward and without issues. Suppose, however, that the seller makes a counteroffer to your original offer. Jim Rubin's experience is that often the seller and the seller's broker forget to include the seller's contact information in the counteroffer document. Now, before closing, you, the buyer, will have to review the physical condition of the property, the title and survey, and you will probably have a financing contingency. So how do you know where to send the notices from these transaction steps that are legally required? To avoid this challenge, be sure you tell your broker if a counteroffer is presented to you to make sure that the seller's address is included in the document. If it's not, then while you're considering the terms of the seller's counteroffer, ask your broker to get the address so you can use it in any response to the counteroffer, whether it's your own counteroffer, my goodness, or acceptance of what the seller has proposed. I'm going to go back and review this again. And you shouldn't be afraid to ask your broker to get the seller's address. By doing so, it will make the whole transaction go a lot more smoothly and will remove some of the stress involved in buying a property. Now, suppose the original contract simply lacks the notice address of the other party. What should you do? Well, if you are the buyer again, for example, Jim Rubin suggests that you send a written notice to the seller, care of his or her broker, as soon as possible after going under contract. In your written communication, you should tell the seller that there is a no-notice address in the contract and that you have no choice but to send future notices through the seller's broker. Invite the seller to remedy the problem by giving you his or her address, and if there's no response, continue to send notices through the seller's broker. Attorney Rubin urges you to resolve this address problem early on in the transaction and for a very simple but critical reason. Because if you get down to a deadline for giving an objection, say with the title or an inspection done at the property, and you don't have the seller's address, you may worry that you didn't give proper notice of objections and that your buyer's earnest money may be at risk. Be certain that you can control your own destiny in buying or selling a property by being able to move forward in the transaction or terminate it effectively and avoid a fight over refunding earnest money. In other words, handling something as simple as having the proper address and pursuing effective communication between all parties to a transaction can make life easier for everyone involved, be they the buyer, seller, or broker. Thank you, Jim Rubin, for another useful legal topic of the week. If you have some further questions, and I did sort of have a little bit of confusion there when I wrote this out, I apologize, but please go to Jim Rubin through our website, www.santafe realtypartners.com. Click on the radio show icon and go right to the Rubin Katz Law Firm logo. Gino, we need to take a break here on All Things Real Estate. When we come back, we'll continue our conversation with Stephen Etree, co-owner of Stevens & Consignment Gallery. We'll be back in a
Now, here's your host, Associate Broker with Santa Fe Realty Partners, Ray Post.
Welcome back to All Things Real Estate. Today we have Stephen Etree of Stevens, a consignment gallery in the studio with us. Before we get back into our conversation, I just want to mention to you again that I'm going to be out of town next week, the 20th, and actually the following week, the 27th. I'm going to Texas to visit my family. Next week, Stephen Riemann with Fidelity National Title is going to host the show. And again, as I said in the earlier part of the program, it's going to be a wacky show, as he tells me. So we're looking forward to that. And then on the 27th, Jeff and Jack Welch, brokers in Santa Fe Realty Partners, have agreed to co-host the show. And their special guest will be either Jeff or Dina Major of Major Development. So that should be maybe a wacky show, too. Anyway, tune in on both Sundays, the 20th and the 27th, for those broadcasts, and it should be fun. So, Gino, do we have my – okay. I've got my my good friend, Loopy Linson, on the line. Loopy is the owner of Linson's Incorporated, located at 1305 Cerrillos Road. And this well-known institution is a family-owned and operated business that's been offering fabrics and custom upholstery services for more than 30 years. Good afternoon, Loopy. How are you?
I'm great. How are you today?
Now, are you on your way to Albuquerque, or are you in the store or home, or where are you?
I'm at home today working on projects for customers.
Ah, okay. Well, I know that you've got a great sale going on of in-stock fabrics. Why don't you talk for a minute or so about that to the listeners?
Generally, we carry a large arrangement of fabrics in the store, and when we do have them in stock, they're on a great discount already, up to 50%. But during December, we do have an additional 25% off on all our in-stock fabrics for both upholstery, window treatments, bedding. So you can pretty much get what you need right now at a great price.
And you already have about 450 lines of fabric, don't you?
Yes, we do. We carry everything from A to Z, from Arte to Zoffany, Kravitz, mm-hmm. Scalamandre, Stroheim, Robert Allen, you name it. We carry just about everyone. If we don't have a sample in stock, of something you've seen, we can get it.
Absolutely. And I like my special and studio guest today, Stephen Etri of Stephen's Consignment Gallery, you, Loopy, also cater extensively to the interior design and decorator community here in Santa Fe, don't you?
Yes. We've dealt with almost every decorator and interior designer in town, as well as architects. And we deal with quite a few designers from out of state as well.
Well, not only that, but you ship all your products overseas too, don't you?
Yes, we do. Sometimes we get really large orders, but they have to go in containers all over the world.
Wow. Well, I encourage everyone who's out there to, are you guys open right now?
No, we're open Tuesday through Friday from 10 to 5 and Saturdays from 12 to 4.
Okay, so Tuesday morning, bright and early, please stop by and say hello to Loopy Linson and her incredibly helpful staff. Is that your phone, Loopy?
Yes, they're calling me already.
Okay, listen, God, that's fabulous. That was perfect timing. We couldn't have done that even more if we'd rehearsed that. Anyway, Loopy Linson, thanks so much for being on the show today. I encourage everyone to check out her great sale on in-stock fabrics. Again, that's Linson's Incorporated, located at 1305 Cerrillos Road. Have a great afternoon, Loopy.
Thank you. Great talking to you again.
Right, talk to you soon.
Uh-huh. Bye-bye.
Okay, well, that was fun, wasn't it? Anyway, back to my conversation with Stephen Etri. Stephen, during the break, we actually received a question from Sue. Hi, Ray. Is Stephen's taking in new consignment items now, or is his gallery too full of items during the holidays?
Well, you know, I'd like to say that we're never too full. What we did, and I think we've spoken about this in the past couple of conversations we've had, is that we have shifted our focus on the better, higher quality items that are being offered to us. And we refer off those items that are just don't fit our criteria anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And so that leaves us in a position where we can always find good showroom floor space for good items.
Yeah.
So no, we are not too full. In fact, we accept consignments literally every day. I don't recall a day where we didn't get something new in.
Really?
Yes. And, you know, my guys are out on Tuesdays and Thursdays every hour on the hour doing pickups.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have lots of drop-ins, people just coming in and bringing items to us that we've discussed.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So Sue, thank you for that email. But now if you want to, and you guys are open right now, right?
We are. We're open 7 days a week, 10 to 5.
Mm-hmm. So for Sue, again, as we talked about in the previous segment, we don't know what it is that she has in mind here, but Sue, why don't you give Stephen's a Consignment Gallery a call to describe what it is, and then as Stephen mentioned before, the best way, depending on the size and what the item is actually emailing a picture to them.
That's correct.
So they can take a look at it. So thank you, Sue, for that question. Stephen, let's go back to our previous sort of larger issue here. I framed in the previous segment about the unfortunate situation of someone passing away, leaving their property, their heirs are dealing with it. They are overwhelmed with something that maybe has been items in a house for 50 years or more. They call you. As you said, one of the first things you do is a free assessment. It might lead to an appraisal depending on the value and what their legal counsel might be. All right, so we've done that. Now what's the next step?
Well, it's really my job to kind of talk through the process with the customer, the seller. What I try to ascertain is what items, like I mentioned earlier, are going to be available. Once we know that, then I can give them and lay out the alternatives, what options we have to proceed to really maximize the goal, which is to, number one, get as high a value, a realized value price on what it is that we are going to be selling, as well as balancing getting rid of those items that we at Stephen's would not take back to the consignment gallery at the end of a sale. So that we can generate funds off of that.
Mm-hmm.
With on-site estate sales, what's quite interesting is it's not any one individual item generally that makes the sale successful.
Mm-hmm.
It's having numerous items, whether they be a lower-end items that are below $10 or items that are expensive that are in the $5,000,
$10,000.
Everything accumulates.
Right.
But the goal here is to empty out the house.
Right.
And so what we do is we can give them options, and the options would be an on-site sale, as an estate sale, removing particular items onto the gallery on consignment, or removing some items and doing online trading, whether we market it online or whether we market here locally. It depends on what the piece is.
And those are three good things. And, again, just to reframe for everyone, the hypothetical situation, which is really not all that hypothetical because you do it all the time, is that someone's passed away, their heirs have to deal with the real estate itself, the property. Their legal counsel says, you've got to dispose of all these fabulous items in the house, and that's where Stevens, a consignment gallery, comes in. You're working hand in glove, and again, I want to give you a high praise on this. You do this all the time with brokers throughout Santa Fe, where you are actually the person that makes the broker's life a lot easier by finding a way to move these things out, which is different than the elements of staging. But a question I had, you talked about the two or three ways that you might sell or dispose of products. Do you sometimes have, because you've been in the business now for more than two decades, almost three decades, do you have clients out there where you go to someone's property, you see something in the corner that you know one of your clients is going to want? They don't even have to come to this. You pick up the phone and say, hey, Bob, I've got a great, you know, whatever it is, piece of art. Does that happen occasionally?
Well, it does happen occasionally. That's brokering. And, you know, not unlike real estate, we're trying to match buyers and sellers.
Mm-hmm.
And you need to be careful as far as in my position. I feel that my customer's privacy is utmost.
Mm-hmm.
And so, of course, I never discuss where I've seen something or whose house I was in.
I understand.
That's very important. And that's protecting the seller, quite frankly, and protecting their privacy is as important as being a good salesperson.
Sure, but if you know of a buyer that absolutely wants that particular item because they've been telling you for years, you would say to the seller, by the way, I probably have someone we can just broker
and
this
we do that.
Straight out the door.
And 50% of the time, it goes 50-50. It is, I will never sell that piece under any circumstances as long as I live.
Right.
And then you have the other 50% that would say, how much?
Mm-hmm.
And if it's a price that they feel is reasonable and motivates them to sell, then we put together the sale.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's go back to that first option there. Let's say that you've decided that an on-site estate sale is the way to go. Walk again through the process of that. I know one size doesn't fit all, but what are the main
I don't know that we have enough time to go through the whole process
because
it can be quite extensive. But one of the things that I would like the listening audience to be aware of is that we try to be as flexible as possible in reaching a goal.
Uh-huh.
And, for example, we had an estate sale that we conducted, about 3 months ago. And it first started off that the realtor felt that the house was too cluttered and it should be lightened. The load should be lightened a bit.
Right.
But they weren't at the position, at the point yet where they wanted us to empty out the entire house.
Mm-hmm.
So what we did was we went in and we took out those better, higher-end pieces that we felt that we could maximize the value at the gallery, in a gallery venue.
Mm-hmm.
Ultimately, what happened was I got a call from the executress, and she suggested that in conversations with her realtor that maybe it was time to empty the house out.
Mm.
Maybe the house would sell better if it had been repainted, new carpets, et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
That was not possible prior.
Because there was
too much in the house.
Got it. Yep.
Now a situation has changed.
Mm-hmm.
What in the beginning was the strategy no longer was appropriate.
Right.
So we had to change. We flexed our muscle as far as being able to go in, pricing the items, setting it up for an on-site estate sale,
mm-hmm.
and ultimately at the end, Ray, whatever we didn't feel was of the quality that we would remove back to the gallery on a consignment basis,
mm-hmm.
we arranged for a local charity to receive. And the customer receives a tax donation. The house was emptied out. They were able to go in, paint it, put down carpets. It sold within 3 weeks later.
Right. And what you're hitting on is one of the fundamental issues and a mantra that all of us as brokers have, and that is that a house has to be well-priced and it has to be looking perfectly well for move-in immediately. So you're actually talking about how you help the broker achieve that and your timetable really sort of helps the broker decide what his timetable is, perhaps, for listing the property.
Well, you know, we certainly work with the broker, the seller. One of the first questions I ask always is, what kind of time frame are we working under?
Right.
I've had people call me and say, the house just sold. We have a 30-day closing. We need to move.
Wow.
And then I have other people who say, you know what, we're in preparation, looking forward to maybe a spring selling.
Mm.
You know, we have to be flexible.
Well, and that's really sort of a good statement about how flexible you are and the professionalism you bring to the table. Well, we're under a time schedule right now, Gino Thompson, my producer, where we need to take a break here on All Things Real Estate. And when we come back, we're going to go into our Open House of the Week segment and then finish the show with my special guest, Stephen Etri, co-owner of Stevens and Consignment Gallery. We'll be back in a minute. Welcome back to All Things Real Estate. This is Ray Post with Santa Fe Realty Partners, and by the sound of that music, you all know that we are up to our Open House of the Week segment. Today I have my colleague from Santa Fe Realty Partners, Lori Hilton, on the line. Good afternoon, Lori. How are you?
Hi, Ray. How are you?
I'm doing okay, and Lori, you know the drill on this one. You have 2 minutes to basically sell all of the listeners on the great qualities of this property that you're sitting at, so why don't you describe it, where you are, and all the different amenities, and you're on. Go ahead.
Okay. This property is located at 134 Calle San Simon. That's in the area near Rodeo Road and Old Pecos Trail. It's in the Soli Lomas subdivision. And, Ray, this is actually an opportunity to get two houses for the price of one because there's a main house that's 1,970 square feet. It's three-bedroom, two-bath, has hardwood floors. And the kitchen has just recently been remodeled with beautiful new cabinets, granite countertops, new appliances. The guest house is 970 square feet, and it's got brick floors, a one-bedroom, one-bath, and a full kitchen. This property is an enclosed compound, and it has great outdoor living areas. It's on 1.2 acres. And it would be a great opportunity for someone who is an artist that needs a studio or a professional that needs a home office or just someone that wanted to live in one property and rent the other and have rental income.
Mm-hmm. Or maybe the fourth alternative is if you want to have friends and family come and join you, you could use the guest house, right?
That's what guest house are for, right?
I think it is, yeah. but anyway, that sounds like a great property. Again, it's four bedrooms, three full baths, about almost 3,000 square feet, right?
Uh-huh.
And that Soli Lomas area is really nice. Are you there now?
Yes, I am.
Uh-huh. And you're going to be there now?
We'll be here until 4 today.
4 o'clock, so anyone that is out there driving around in that neighborhood, I guess the one question I have is how much is this fabulous property?
It's listed at $639,000.
Okay, so if you're out there driving around and you want to stop by and say hello to Lori Hilton, she will be at 134 Calle San Simon, or she's there now, and she'll be there until 4 o'clock, so stop by and say hello. Lori, I hope you have thousands of people coming by today.
Thank you, Ray.
Talk to you soon.
Uh-huh.
Bye-bye. Back to my in-studio guest, Stephen Etri, co-owner of Stevens, a consignment gallery. Stephen, we actually framed for the listeners today this issue regarding the unfortunate situation of someone who is an heir to a property. Someone's deceased, and they've got to take care of the real estate, but they have years and years and years of items in the property, and you've talked about several things that Stevens, a consignment gallery, has done on a regular basis to help not only the owners of the property, the heirs of the property, but a real estate broker get the property ready for sale mm-hmm. by disposing of the items that are there. So why don't we, I guess we have probably about 6 minutes or so, don't we, Gino? Yeah, about 6-7 minutes. Is that, you always hold up the fingers, and I can't, five or 6 minutes, anyway. Why don't you, we got plenty of time, actually, we can talk about that or, you know, how Peyton Manning's doing well with the Indianapolis Colts, anything you want to talk about, seriously.
I think I'd prefer speaking about what I have some knowledge of.
And we don't, you're in TV, so we don't know anything. So,
right, there you go.
But, no, it's seriously, let's talk about framing for the listeners again, the steps that they should take mm-hmm. if they find themselves in that set of circumstances. Mm-hmm.
Well, it's, you know, in, whether you're a realtor who's trying to deal with a property in the most professional way possible, to present the property in its best light, or you are a listener who finds yourself as being the executor, executress of a property, whether it be a family member or a friend, and they have asked you, they've put their confidence in you to handle their property and to handle the remainders of their their existence here in this world, this earth here, in the most professional, sensitive way possible.
Mm-hmm.
Moving, it can be a daunting responsibility for many people.
Yes.
And I think that a team of, you don't necessarily have to have a lot of contact with estate attorneys, but certainly talking to an estate attorney to get a lay of the land,
right.
Speaking to a realtor to know what their suggestions and plans for the real estate would be,
mm-hmm.
and then speaking to somebody like myself to find out what the options that are available to reach the goal mm-hmm. of winding down somebody's estate.
You raise a good issue because buying a house or selling a house is a big event in everyone's life.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know of any other transaction that is as big normally. And so there's a lot of emotion, there's a lot of stress. Now you add on top of that the situation where you're dealing with heirs who probably have had a family member who has passed away. I'm actually this week, it's 1 year anniversary of my dad passing away, passed away a year ago on Friday, and my mother's been dealing with the lawyers and the estate issues for the mm-hmm. last year, and it just never seems to end, though fortunately it is going to be coming to an mm-hmm. end. So but my point is that basically you've got this layering of emotion on top of you trying to be a professional.
Sure.
Does that get in the way sometimes?
Well, I don't know if I've mentioned it. You know, my previous life, I was a social worker.
You're equipped in many ways.
In many ways, I tell my children, I tell my customers who ask, I use my social work skills every day in retail,
mm-hmm.
whether I'm dealing with a customer who's buying or I'm dealing with a customer who's selling. And certainly I don't use those skills nearly to the extent that I do when I'm dealing with family members.
Right.
Family members have a lot that's wrapped up in the home, the contents. Very quickly, we just completed an estate sale where we were asked to go and do an assessment. And we were referred by a local law firm.
Mm-hmm.
And I walked in, and I, like you, didn't want to show my true overwhelmed experience.
Sure.
I stepped into this house.
Right.
It had been built 60 years ago. Had nothing left the house in 60 years.
Wow.
But we were able, through discussion, determine what was available, what really needed to go to particular family members. We arranged to have those items removed so that when we conducted the sale, everything in the house was available for the sale.
Mm-hmm.
So the point that I'd like to leave with the listening audience is that when you're dealing with professionals, they are problem solvers,
right.
whether it be an attorney, a realtor, or a consignment gallery, or someone who's doing an appraisal. Their job is to be a problem solver in team with you, in tandem.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we bring to the table when people call us. We are very flexible. We really look out for their interests.
Right.
And we really respect the nature and the situation that people are dealing with when someone's passed on.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess you really couldn't have summarized it any better than that. You've done this for almost three decades now,
right. mm-hmm.
And probably another three decades ago. You're a young guy.
I certainly hope so. I love what I do.
Absolutely.
I wouldn't like to be doing it.
Well, and you have such a fabulous reputation here in town. I tell you what, Steve, I want to have you back on the show. We're going to maybe devote an entire show. Well, I'll have you back because you're a sponsor of the show, too, so you basically can tell me when you want to come back. But we're going to have you on the show, seriously, to talk about an estate sale from soup to nuts. Anyway, I want to thank Stephen Etri for being my in-studio guest today, and I want to encourage you to visit him at his gallery, Stephen's A Consignment Gallery, located at 2701 Cerrillos Road. I want to thank Eugenio Thompson, my producer, and Kate, Jane, and Peggy back at Santa Fe Realty Partners for producing terrific shows throughout all of 2009. Again, I'm going to be gone next Sunday and the Sunday after that. I want to thank you for tuning in today, and remember to join Steve Riemann of Fidelity National Title when he hosts the show next week, and then the week after that it will be Jack and Jeff Welch of Santa Fe Realty Partners. So until Sunday, January 3rd, at noon, right here on 1260 KTRC, I wish you a happy new year and send you good luck and fortune in all things real estate.